All right, if you will, open your Bibles to Psalm 100. Psalm 100. Normally, we're going through the Gospel of John in our morning service, but today I'd like to stop and take a break and speak on the subject of thanksgiving. Thought that'd be fitting for us today, and then we'll start here in Psalm 100. I think this will be a simple message. I don't think this will be anything new that you'll hear this morning, but I think it's good to be a good reminder to us about the importance of giving thanks, this idea of thanksgiving. I don't intend to be long, but those are always famous last words, but we'll see. Psalm 100, we'll read the entire psalm together. Psalm 100, the Bible says, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations." Verse number 4, that word thanksgiving is used. I did a quick word search. That word is found 30 times in your Bible. We're not going to look at all of those this morning, but we are going to look at some of them and give you some Bible thoughts on thanksgiving. Let's pray and we'll get into the message this morning. Father, we do thank you for this opportunity we have as brothers and sisters to gather together, to sing praises unto your name, to give you thanks for all that you have done, for all that you are. Help us as your people to make this a daily activity in our life. It's so easy to forget about the many blessings. It's so easy sometimes just to focus on the blessings and to forget you, the blesser, the giver of all of those good things. So I pray you help us this morning as we study this idea out throughout the Bible, that we would give you the praise, the glory, and the honor for who you are and for what you have done. Be with the message this morning. May it be of help and a blessing unto your people. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Bible thoughts on thanksgiving. I have four of them for you this morning. The first one here from the passage that we're in. Thanksgiving rightfully belongs to the Lord. Thanksgiving rightfully belongs to the Lord. Look again at verses 4 and 5. The Bible says, "Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name." Why? "For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations." You know, giving thanks unto the Lord really shouldn't be that hard. We have a lot to be thankful for. And I don't want us just to focus on the physical blessings this morning, howbeit we should give thanks unto the Lord for those things. Notice what the psalmist in verse number 5 gives thanks unto the Lord for. He says this, "For the Lord is good." You know why you should give thanksgiving unto the Lord? Because God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. And as you recognize that goodness in your life, guess what your response should be to that truth? God, thank you. Give thanks unto the Lord. I encourage you, no matter what you're going through, it doesn't change the fact that God is good and he is worthy to be praised. I can't help but think of Job when he lost everything. You would think if a man had the right to complain, the right to talk back to God, this man would have the right. But in Job 1, verse 21, let me remind you of what Job says. He says, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." There's a man that recognized that God is good all the time. Even though so much had been taken from him, Job was still able to recognize the goodness of God, and he was able to bless his holy name. I encourage you to think about the goodness of God in your life and then give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Notice, secondly, the psalmist says his mercy is everlasting. Dwell upon that for a little bit. His mercy isn't fleeting. His mercy isn't short-lived. The Bible says this, everlasting, meaning it lasts forever. It's always there for you and me as his children. Lamentations 3:23, the Bible says, every morning his mercies are new. Sometimes we think we can exhaust the mercy of God. We're finite creatures and people exhaust our mercy. Day in, day out, you get to the end of the day, like, I don't know if I have any more ability to be merciful to that person tomorrow. But the Bible says this, you can exhaust the mercy of God today and there's some more for you tomorrow. Because his mercy is everlasting. Spurgeon said this, so long as we are receivers of mercy, we must be givers of thanks. Are you a recipient of the mercy of God? Yes, every day you are. So guess what every day you ought to be doing? Giving thanks unto the Lord, for he is good and his mercy is everlasting. Notice lastly, the psalmist says this, his truth endureth to all generations. Aren't you thankful that you have something that God has given to you that doesn't change with the times? Amen. Truth today is, it's blown around like the leaf. One day it's this, and the next day it's that, and it's this day, and it's that this day. The Bible says this, his truth endureth to all generations. If you're of an older generation, there are some things being taught today as truth that weren't truth 50 years ago. And you know what? There are things today that are true that won't be true 50 years from today. Truth changes, unfortunately, in our society and world. But we should be thankful that God's truth never changes. It endures to all generations. And as the psalmist sits back, and he recognized God is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations, I'm going to give him thanks for that. Listen, no matter what you're going through, those three things are true for you. You may not have the biggest house, the nicest car. Things may not be running as smoothly when you talk about your health or your financial well-being. But those three things are true for you, if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you ought to give thanks unto the Lord. It rightfully belongs to him. One more, go with me to Psalm 118. One more with this point, Psalm 118. We'll start reading in verse number 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, because his mercy endureth forever. Let Israel now say that his mercy endureth forever. Let the house of Aaron now say that his mercy endureth forever. Let them now that fear the Lord say that his mercy endureth forever. Down to the last two verses, 28 and 29. Thou art my God, and I will praise thee. Thou art my God, I will exalt thee. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Listen, thanksgiving rightfully belongs unto the Lord. Let's make sure we're giving it to him each and every day. I'm thankful that in our world that they have set aside a day to give thanks. We'll talk about this in a second. To whom they give thanks, I don't know. But they give thanks as believers. We're not waiting for one day a year to give thanks unto our God. Every day, let us give thanks unto him. He is rightfully due our thanks. Second point, go with me to Ephesians chapter 5. We got a few references. We're going to look with this one. Ephesians chapter 5. Thanksgiving identifies the Christian. Thanksgiving identifies the Christian. At least it should. Ephesians chapter 5. I thought this was quite an interesting passage. We'll start reading in verse number 1. The Bible says, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness," or covetousness, "let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness," now notice these, "neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient." The word convenient means proper or suitable. "But rather, giving of thanks." You know, one thing that defines this world is their filthy mouth. And it has gotten rather ridiculous over the last few years. You can barely take your children, those of us that have them, to McDonald's to play in the playland because the kids are speaking filthy. Not their fault. They're parenting their parents. The world is known for filthiness, foolish talking, jesting, those things which are not suitable and profitable. You know, there are some things you just shouldn't say in mixed company. Well, it's funny. It doesn't matter. It's not convenient. It's not fit. It's not proper. That's how the world speaks. Now, notice in contrast what the Bible says for the believer. "But rather, giving of thanks." You know what should be coming out of our mouths as Christians? Definitely not the foolish and filthy talking. Rather, the Bible says, thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. Your coworkers come into the break room. Filthiness coming out of their mouth about the boss did this or this is going on with that. You know what comes out of the mouth of the Christian, or at least should? "I thank God for the day today. Thank God for the job I have. I thank God for my wife. I thank God for the food I have." We don't speak like they speak. Rather, we give thanks. They hear a mouth and a heart giving thanks unto the Lord. What a powerful testimony that would be. When the men start talking and demeaning their wives, you give thanks for your wife. When the men start talking horribly against God and cursing his name, you start giving thanks to your God. What a powerful testimony that would be. It would set you apart. This guy's not like us. This lady's not like us. She must be, he must be a Christian. How would they know that? Giving of thanks. Go with me to Romans chapter 1. Notice some more descriptions about the world here. Romans chapter 1. We'll start reading in verse number 18. Again, it's just interesting to me when I was studying this idea of thanksgiving and thankfulness, how much this idea of being thankful is used, or the idea of being unthankful, how it kind of highlights and defines the world and the people of God. Romans 1 verse 18, the Bible says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." Notice, "because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened." There are two defining things that God says about the people of this world. And in verse number 21, he says this, they're irreverent, meaning they don't give glory that is due unto God. They don't want him to be creator. They don't want him to be master. And so they reject God. They're irreverent. And notice the second thing, unthankful. Unthankful. I don't want to get deep into this, but what causes a woman or a man to want to mutilate their body to try to become something that they can't be? unthankfulness. One, I recognize God made me. And two, I'm going to be thankful for what God made me. Amen. They reject God, and they are unthankful. And that leads to such a... You go down, you read, we're not going to do this. You go down and read verses like 28 and following. Some pretty rough sins there. Men working with men, women working with women. What is that? Unthankful. God set up man and a woman, and they said, we don't want that. That doesn't satisfy us. I'm not thankful for the way God set those things up. I'm going to do it this way. They reject God, and they are unthankful. And it leads to a whole bunch of serious sins in the lives of people. But here's my point as we think about this. Irreverence and unthankfulness are what describe this world. What should describe the believer? Reverence, thanksgiving. 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. You know, you don't have to wear a sign around your neck when you walk out in public that says, I'm a Christian. I'm not against you doing that. But you don't have to do that in order for people to know you're a Christian. If you will do certain Christian things in your life, and one of them that we're talking about today is giving thanks, you know what people will know? That person's a Christian. That man's a Christian. That woman's a Christian. That family is a Christian family. Let me show you this easy, simple thing that we can all do that identifies us as Christians. 1 Timothy 4, we'll start reading verse number 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. So there are going to be false teachers in the end times, and people are going to be led astray by them. What are some of those things that they are going to be teaching? Forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received, what's those next two words? With thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received, next two words, with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. What you would see, even in my generation, I remember this as a child, if you were going to the restaurant, you'd see people sitting down before they ate their food, praying. Now, is everyone that does that a Christian? Probably not. But you know what Christians do? We give thanks before we eat. Every time we give thanks. Again, I don't have to go. We're going to go to Cracker Barrel this afternoon. My in-laws are here and they're going to treat us out. Got to love in-laws. But when we go to Cracker Barrel, we all don't have to wear signs that say we're Christians. When they see us bowing our heads to pray, a whole group of us, they're going to say this, probably some Christians over there. And I don't have to say a word out of my mouth. Besides, Lord, thank you for the food. Our culture is so unthankful. We expect food. It would probably do well for us to think about how the other two-thirds of the world go about their daily lives. And probably when you sit down to eat your big meal, you'd give thanks, because the world doesn't get that. And you get it almost every day. Good food three times a day. And yet the Christian will sit down and just stuff his face. Where's your thanksgiving? God, thank you. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Thanksgiving identifies the Christian. Again, at least it should. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18. What's God's will for you? Well, here's one thing. The Bible says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. You know what will make a powerful impact to the unbelievers that are around you? That whatever you're going through, you give thanks. I mean, even as Christians, when we look at the life of Job, I'm even taken back. Here's a man in everything gave thanks. Not just on a holiday, not just when there's plenty on my table, not just when my health is good and life is going well. What identifies the Christian is when everything is going against me, I still give thanks. Thanksgiving identifies the Christian. Thirdly, go with me to Colossians 3 and Philippians 4. We're going to look at both of these together. Colossians 3. We'll be at the Colossians 3 one first. Colossians 3 and Philippians chapter 4. Thanksgiving eases anxiety. Thanksgiving eases anxiety. We hear a lot about anxiety today. Everything in our culture is bent to make us anxious people. How do I ease that? How do I calm my mind? Colossians 3, verse 15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Notice the connection between the peace of God and being thankful. Back to Philippians chapter 4, verse number 6. The Bible says, be careful for nothing. Careful means full of care. Our modern word would be anxious. Be full of care, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, notice the next two words, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Now notice the connection again. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You know what will ease anxiety? What will ease depression? Many things we could talk about, but here's one biblical thing. Thanksgiving. I think a lot of Christians pray. We're all for that. But the antidote to carefulness or anxiety is not just prayer. Notice again verse number 5 or verse number 6. By prayer with thanksgiving. Thankful prayer. Not just prayer. Thankful prayer. What's the difference? Praying with thanksgiving takes your mind off of what you don't have and puts it on what you do have. It takes your mind off of you and your circumstances and it puts it on Him and His goodness. What an anxious mind doesn't need is more inward contemplation of the issue. It needs more upward thanksgiving to God. A depressed mind doesn't need more inward examination of what I don't have in this life. It needs more upward understanding of everything I do have in Jesus Christ. I would encourage you today, read Ephesians chapter 1 and see what you as a believer have in Jesus Christ. The Bible says you've been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. So when anxiety comes and depression comes, I don't look down. I look up. I don't look in. I pray with thanksgiving. God, thank you for everything you have given to me. Not look down and say, look at everything I don't have. That's a sure remedy to get deeper into depression and deeper into anxiety. I look up and with a thankful heart, thank God for everything I do have. And primarily as believers, it's all the spiritual blessings that I have in Jesus Christ. Back to Psalm 100, for he is good. His mercy is everlasting. His truth endureth. I may not have the nicest house or the best car or the greatest health, but God, you're still a great God and a good God, and you love me. Man, that really helps my mind. It eases the anxious mind and the depressed heart. Praying with thanksgiving turns our focus away from ourselves and to the goodness of God and all that he has done for us. That's the antidote for anxiousness and depression. Praying with thanksgiving. Fourthly and lastly, go back with me, if you will, to Psalm 69. Told you I'll be short today. Psalm 69. Number 4, thanksgiving magnifies God. Thanksgiving magnifies God. Psalm 69, verse number 30. David says, I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify him with thanksgiving. The word magnify means to exalt, to elevate, to increase greatness. Now, David isn't saying that he will make God great with his thanksgiving. Psalm 48:1 says, great is the Lord. And greatly to be praised. God is great whether you recognize that fact or not. What thanksgiving, though, does is make God greater to us. Think of a telescope. I think this is a good illustration of this principle. A telescope magnifies, but does it actually make something bigger? No. It takes that very big thing that's way out there and allows you to view it more clearly. So the telescope magnified, but it did not make it greater. It allowed me to view that which was greater with much more clarity. And this is what David is saying thanksgiving does. It doesn't make God great. He is great. You know what thanksgiving will help you do? Recognize how great he actually is. It brings God right to the foreview, and you get to look at all the intricate details of how great my God actually is. When I thank him, his love comes into view. His mercy comes into view. His grace, his faithfulness, his holiness, his wisdom, his power. All of these things come into view so much more clearly. And I recognize this. My God is an awesome God. My God is a great God. How did I come to that conclusion? By giving him thanks. It magnified him. I believe in the reason why most Christians don't serve God and worship God as they ought is because they have a very small view of God. How do you get a bigger view of God? With thanksgiving. It takes that awesome God and brings him right into my view. And I get to see all the intricacies of his love and his mercy and his grace. And then I can't help but sing songs of praise and worship him with my life and serve him with my life. That's the benefit and power of thanksgiving. It magnifies God so much that we can't help but praise him and worship him. Before we turn to our last passage, I want you to notice the connection here between praise, thanksgiving, and singing. The psalmist says, I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify him with thanksgiving. Go with me, if you will, to Psalm 147. This is what we read for our scripture reading this morning. Even Brother Brian brought this very verse out, verse number 7. You say, we come to church and we sing an awful lot. Man, we sung 5 songs already this morning. Why do we sing? Because we want to give thanks to our God. And a powerful way to do that is to sing, to praise his holy name and give thanks to his holy name through song. Psalm 147, verse 7. Notice again the connection. Sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praise upon the harp unto our God. In just a second, we're going to sing together. We're going to end just a little bit differently this morning. So as we get ready for that, our instrumentalists, if you will come and get ready. But I want to take 1 second just to talk about this verse. Singing has a vertical and horizontal component to it. In the New Testament, you don't need to turn there, Colossians 3:16 says that we sing to teach and admonish each other. So we come in and we sing these songs and they teach us. They admonish us. They build us up. They challenge us. And when I sing it, you're listening and it's like, oh, I should be obeying, or oh, I should be loving, or oh, and they admonish us. But singing also has a vertical component to it. And this is what we read in Psalm 69:30 and Psalm 147, verse 7. Why do we come and gather together to sing? Because we want to give praise unto our God. And listen, I don't think we do it enough. I encourage you, every day, sing praise unto your God. Go back to point number 1. Is he deserving of it? Does it rightfully belong to him? Now, you don't have to sing to give thanks. But singing is a powerful way, a very easy way to give thanks unto the Lord. In fact, the Psalms are just full of that. These Psalms were written, most of them, to give thanks unto the Lord. I would encourage you, if you have a family, small children in your home, mother, father, sing with your children. Sing with them. We want to worship God with our song. As a church family, when we gather together, we sing. Why? Because we want to give thanksgiving unto our God. And these songs are a great way to help us do that. With that in mind, we're going to close a little bit differently today. Just go ahead and grab your red songbook, if you will.